The biblical view of joy is absurdity if it is not understood from the divine perspective. It simply does not make sense to an average person why James chapter 1, verse 2 says this: "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various types," various kinds. And then we see Jesus talking about the same stuff, that when you face the trials and persecution and troubles, you should be rejoicing. And we see this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. It says, Jesus said this: "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kind of evil against you falsely on my account." Verse 12, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Christians who were killed this morning, while they were worshiping the very Christ who is their hope and who said these words, I believe they are rejoicing in his presence right now. Why? Because their pains, their sorrows, their tears are no longer hurting them. They are rejoicing in Christ. No more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow. As a Pakistani believer, oh, by the way, my mom and dad are there. They were able to come after almost 12 years. Finally, they are here. We've been praying. Those who come to prayer meetings, they know that how long we've been praying for them. And you have heard some of the stories about my mom and dad. So as a Pakistani believer, I can testify to the fact that they must, those who died, those who were killed for Christ this morning as they were worshiping, they must have lived hard lives on earth, because that is the story of every single believer in that country and almost every single country that is hostile toward the gospel. They were persecuted for his name's sake every day in a society of 97% Muslims. 97%. The population of Pakistan is about 200 million people. In order to understand what joy is, I want to outline 5 points to indicate what it is not. And hopefully, in doing so, we will understand how Christ was and is joy to the world. So here's the first point. Number one, joy is not happiness. Here's why. A, happiness is external, but joy is internal. It means you can attain happiness from external sources, but joy, you can't do that. Not joy. When we use the verb happy, we say such and such thing makes me happy, don't we? But when we talk about joy, we almost always use it in a possessive sense. We say he is such a joyful person because he is the embodiment of joy. He has joy, but he feels happy. B, happiness varies from person to person. What does that mean? This means what makes you happy may not make me happy, and vice versa. Most of us work hard on what makes us happy, don't we? In some cases, it's family. I love my family. If I could, I would spend 24/7 with my son, with my wife. Family, right? Friends, career, a big house, better car, more money, and in some cases, even things like power, fame, drugs, and sex are the sources of happiness. See, not only is happiness external, and varied, but it is also subjective. People consumed with their own happiness willfully ignore the happiness of others. And even in the process, ruin their lives for good. Consider the example of a person who finds happiness in a destructive behavior. To him or her, that very action is completely justifiable, even if that means the loss of job, reputation, family, and even one's life. As long as it makes him or her happy. We all know that right now, for the last 6 months or so, a number of cases have emerged exposing some public figures that were thought to be good men, well-respected men of honor and valor. These men were quick to give into their evil desires at the expense of others. Their own happiness meant so much to them that it became the only single thing in their lives that they cared about. Therefore, in order to experience a momentary high, they risked everything that they had worked for. Finally, their unchecked pursuit of happiness became their demise. And I'm pretty sure there are many, many more. It's just a matter of time. Right? Two, joy is not emotional. Joy is not emotional. Yes, I am saddened by the news that my Pakistani Christian brothers and sisters were killed while they were worshiping the Lord today. And yes, I am angered at the lack of outcry by the Western believers who are supposed to act like the body of Christ, feeling that same pain. But nobody knows about this news. Why? Because there's a lack of concern. But at the same time, I am confident in the promises of Christ. Because it's him who said, I live, you also live. That's come from John 14:19. I believe there is something greater waiting for me and those who died this morning. I believe there is something greater waiting for you all. Here's why joy is not an emotional reaction to a news or situation. A, since joy is internal, it deals with the spirit, your spirit, our spirit. If you are spiritually healthy and mature, then external issues and challenges will not have much influence on your ability to be joyful all the time in all circumstances. This attribute of Christian life compels us to love our neighbors, love our enemy. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, the whole big passage about love your enemy. You can't love your enemy without understanding this very attribute. God knows in my heart I have no hatred for those who have killed these innocent people this morning. I am in prayer for those folks. I am praying for their salvation. This is why Calvary hosts, year after year, we are hosting events to love Muslim and teach our congregation and invite the New York City to come and join us for praying. In the month of Ramadan, we're going to commit the whole month of Ramadan praying for Muslim, and then we're going to have an event to come together and pray for that. And then in the fall, next fall again, we're going to have a Heart for Muslims conference. Why do we do that? Because we want to demonstrate the love of Christ. We want to show that joy that can resolve the hate, depression, and unhappiness of my un- directed brothers and sisters who follow a different religion. Now, B, why joy is not emotional. While happiness is all about the quality of your emotions, joy is all about the quality of your spirit. This means you being good or bad has less to do with your happiness and more to do with your joy. When you have true joy in your life as a result, you are good to others. Then you feed the hungry. Then you care for the widow and the needy. See, happiness is temporary while joy is permanent. This is why when you are emotionally up or down, you feel happy or sad. But joy in the Lord remains consistent source of your faithfulness to the Lord and your willingness to worship Him and be able to move. Three, joy is not, point number three is, joy is not superficial. Joy is not superficial. The reason why joy is not superficial and it's spiritual and permanent is because it's not superficial. You simply cannot fabricate it. You can't pretend to be joyful. You can pretend to be happy, but you cannot pretend to be joyful. You will reflect externally only what you have internally. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, the good person out of good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of heart, his mouth speaks. For a non-believer, those who do not believe in Christ, do not believe in God, the idea of joy can never make complete sense, period. It's really hard for us even, those who believe in Christ. But it's like extremely hard for a person who doesn't believe in Christ. God himself is joy. Just like how he is love, he is joy. And when you have him in your life, then, only then, you can experience that joy. And how do we do that? By inviting Christ in our life. When he comes in our hearts, he changes our hearts. And as a result, his joy becomes ours. We inherit that. Here's one of the Christian author. This is how he puts this idea of joy. He writes, our Heavenly Father is not indifferent to our happiness. Joy is not garnish on the dutiful entree of the Christian life. Joy is not icing on our cake, but an essential ingredient in a complex batter. It's not that there is only joy, but that in our most painful, hear this, in our most painful losses and suffering, we discover how deep the reservoirs of Christ's joy run. Only here in difficulty and darkness do we taste the essence of such joy. So you can't even experience, you can't taste joy unless you run into the moment of darkness, trial, persecution. Before the Messiah Jesus came to this world, things were very different. Jesus brought new hope, something new to deal with. But he did not just only preach, he became the embodiment of that. This idea of joy is throughout the Bible, Old Testament, over and over again, we see this idea of joy. God spoke of this to the world. He wanted the world to rejoice. He wanted to, for example, when we look at the Word of God and we find Psalm 76, verse 4 says, Let the nation be glad and sing for joy. When we look at Psalm 96, verse 11, it says, let the heaven be glad and let the earth rejoice. Whole creation is invited to rejoice in him. And then there are verses and hundreds of verses calling Israel to be joyful in the Lord. But it's not until the New Testament where God himself took flesh and broke into the broken world and became the embodiment of that joy. That's the point when humanity began to understand the joy of the Lord. Point number four, joy is not accidental. You choose to be joyful. You choose to be joyful. The greatest example ever since Jesus walked on this earth is the persecuted church. Those who died this morning, if you would have asked them, like any other member of that persecuted church throughout the world, they will not tell you that their joy resides in what they have and what they don't, rather is in the Lord. It really doesn't matter what they go through on a daily basis. What really matters is what they're looking forward, that one day, God will fulfill his promise. They're looking toward that kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. They choose to be joyful regardless of the external challenges, external pressures and crises. Number five, joy is not intended to be optional. This final point is critical to evaluate our walk with God and understanding our faith in Christ. We cannot do anything to attain this joy that the scripture talks about because it comes as the result of the salvation of our soul. And that comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 talks about that. Once you are truly saved, then you are no longer attached to the worldly possessions. Remember when Jesus met that awesome guy who followed the law, did everything right, and then Jesus said, go and sell everything you have and just distribute that among the poor and needy. And that's one thing he could not, because his heart was not committed to Christ yet. So your mind could tell you, do all these things. So you could go with us to Bavri to minister to those who are homeless, feed them, make food for them, do all the good things, but only to make yourself happy. All from here. But you're still attached to your own possessions. Why? Because that joy has not made it way into your heart yet. Joy. The Bible does not only expect believers to have this joy, it commands us to have it. And interestingly enough, since it's God's command for believers to be joyful, therefore he is the one who carries us through tough times, unaffected by the worldly problems, troubles, trials. It's not about our body. It's about the soul that he cares about. Amen? Amen. And that's something we find when we come to the end of this idea. And we see New Testament. This is what the Lord said. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great. And then there is very important part that we forget, in heaven. But as human, we want to see and observe, we want to touch with our physical hands in order to be joyful. No, that's happiness, that's not joyful. Then Bible talks about Luke 10, verse 20 says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Wow. This is the good news that the angel proclaimed to these shepherds. Shepherds, on the other hand, were doing what we try to do every day. We try to make sure that we feel good. We feel happy. But angels were telling them something greater. It was a great news that now the Redeemer, the Savior, has born. Now this is the time to be joyful, because now you, if you come to Him, you'll be saved forever. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that through Jesus Christ, His death, we have found redemption. And Lord, that death no longer has dominion over us. And Lord, all the promises in the scriptures have come to fulfillment, that in Him we have hope, that it's He who intercedes on our behalf, and that one day we will see you face to face, Lord. And that day, no more pain, no more grief, sorrow, or trouble. Lord, I pray for this group of believers. Allow us to have that joy that is promised and described in the scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.